You guys know, and I share this with you. I share everything I share with you. You have come to the conclusion. I know all of us have here at the Salt Mine that it is my utmost goal to just speak what God wants to speak, and so much so I really do. I have it's my only desire is to share what the Lord wants to share with you and share with us today. Even as I was back there worshiping and we were engaging in worship, I was reminded, and the Holy Spirit spoke this very clearly, and it was the words of Jesus that he said, when he said, man, I gotta clear that throat, something's going on there. Spoke to the woman at the well, and he said, there will be a time, and the time is coming, when the Father seeks those who worship him in spirit and in truth. Do you see how I just really quickly went over that phrase? But the Lord didn't allow that to go over quickly as I was back there, because what he said is, focus on the word seek, because those who seek to worship me in spirit and in truth are those that will see me and those that will find me. And then he said this is really super cool, guys. And I love it when God does this in a way that it's very personal to me and infectious to the body, I believe, is that he says, I found some. That's what he said. I found some. I found some here today that have they have sought me in spirit and in truth. And that's good. He seeks those who are worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And he said, I found some. Hallelujah. I did too. I was like, sweet. And he wasn't just referring to me. He said, I found some. I found some here. That's good. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Let me start with this. And I have a page of notes that it's really... This is of the Spirit, too. These notes are of the Spirit of God, and God does speak in the midst of that which we prepare and which I prepare to bring this morning. I want to say something that's very... And I want us to go from start to finish this morning. Pay attention. Be engaged with what's going on this morning. And I believe that God is going to just simply bless us. He's going to bless you with his presence. He's going to bless you with truth that you will take and it will set you free. And actually more than free you, but actually will make you more than a conqueror and make you and bring you to a place of being all that God's called you to be. And you're saying, wow, in 30 minutes, 45 minutes, yes. I believe if you engage from start to finish, God wants to do that. As you walk out of here, you will be more than when you came in here. Are you willing to accept that challenge to just engage this whole service for about 45 minutes? Give me that. Give God that, not me. Give it to God. So listen to this. Jesus is good theology. Jesus is good theology. Just wrap it up in Jesus. All of your theology, wrap it in Jesus. Wrap Jesus around it, and you'll come out with truth. You'll come out right. Jesus is good theology. This next thing I want to share with you, this is so awesome because I love it when God gives me something that's so simple that has been made to be a little confusing and complex and even distracting and even sometimes derailing of our faith. And there's an attempt, the enemy is really good at attempting to derail us, to get us off track, off focus, so that we take our eyes off Jesus. Grace that doesn't lead to holiness is not grace at all. Amen. Listen to that. Did you hear what I just said there? That is, the Holy Spirit just spoke that so clear, and he gave me these two points that are super, super enlightening and yet so simple. Grace that does not lead to holiness is not grace at all. In other words, if it doesn't lead to holiness, It's simply a twisted perversion of licentiousness. I know that's a big word. Yes, you're, thank you. In other words, it's a twisted perversion of me getting to do whatever I want in the name of God or grace or Jesus even. So grace is always going to lead to holiness. So how does that work? Listen to this. I'm going to ask you a question. You guys engaging, right? You're with me? All right, good. Here's a question. Okay, I will forewarn you. It's a trick question. So don't try to answer it out loud because you'll probably be wrong. I warned you, but you can try. I'm just kidding. No, I'm not kidding, but it really is a trick question. What is more offensive to God, if God could be offended, what is more offensive to God, to quench the Holy Spirit or to grieve the Holy Spirit? You guys are answering out loud. I warned you not to do it, and you did it anyway. What is wrong with you? Are you guys not paying attention to me or what, or not? You did it anyway. It was only 5 seconds ago, though. It really wasn't that long ago. Yeah. Somebody has a hand up over there. Don?
Can you define holiness for me?
Oh, you want me to go back to my previous statement? Okay. I sure can. I can give it a shot. Yeah. Grace that does not lead to holiness is not grace at all. I'll define it very simply. Holiness is that which is, it looks like God. Bottom line. Holiness is that which looks like God. Or we who, what Jesus. That's why I made the statement, Jesus is good theology. So you look at Jesus, you're going to find the Father. You're going to find anything that Jesus did, you're going to see that that's what God looks like. That's such good news. You know what that leaves us to come to this conclusion is? All I have to do, simply do this, and it's very simple. It's really not that complicated, is to read the words, read the red, and just do what it says. Really, get a Bible all you have is a digital Bible, find one that has red lettering in it. In other words, read the words of Jesus and do what it says. Find anything that Jesus looks like, you're going to find holiness wrapped up in that, because that's what Jesus is. God is what Jesus looks like. Jesus is what God looks like. Jesus has shown us who the Father is. And he's saying that's what I'm actually empowering you and filling you with the Spirit of God to be like God, to be like Jesus. Wow, that's awesome. Yes, hand up. Yeah, I'm not going there, and I hope none of us go there. We're not talking about obeying a set of rules and laws. In fact, if anything, remember a few weeks ago I mentioned a verse that, and it's coming to my brain. It's slowly coming. It's coming. Where we talked about where Jesus had said that if your attempt is to be like God. In the matter of obeying laws, in other words, if the laws that you obey is going to make you right with God, then what you have done is you've made it to where being pleasing to God is simply by obeying rules. And that's not what God is referring to. God is referring to selling your heart out to Him, giving Him everything that you are, and all the rules that come into play in that are going to just come into play because it's not a... If it's about obeying laws, we really do fall short. In fact, it was in that regards, it was all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And we say, well, if we obey all these laws and rules, then we'll somehow measure up to the glory of God. As though if I obey all the speed limits, drive within the line, stop behind the line, do all these things that I'm supposed to do, pay all my taxes, make sure that every minute that I work, I only charge my boss that. I don't charge a minute over. So all these things that I'm like, oh my gosh, do you see how heavy that just got? Whew. I'm weighted down with legalistic rules to measure up to God's glory. Hello? When God's glory is simply this, just being who God's called you to be. Being who God has called you to be. I know that's cliche-ish, but be who God's called you to be. In His creation, you're created in His image. And that's where, from there, I went to, God took me to, You are called to be kings and priests. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen generation belonging to God. Hello? You guys with me? Or are you back with me? Okay. I was answering the question of holiness, and I didn't get to this trick question, which is more offensive to the Lord if the Lord could be offended, to quench the Holy Spirit or to grieve the Holy Spirit. And many of you answered. You started answering, and I kind of just cut you off. But, of course, the answer is simply both. Neither are more offensive to the other, to God, because he tells us to not quench the Holy Spirit, and he tells us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean? What does that look like? What does that look like? To quench the Holy Spirit. This is really awesome. I'm as a teacher of the Word and as a pastor, when God gives me something really awesome, when I say this is really awesome, I'm not saying that I came up with this awesome thing. I'm saying that God is really awesome, and God is so gracious and kind to show me something that is enlightening, that frees me up and gives me understanding that I could share with you all. Do you guys understand when I say that? Okay, amen. Good, because I want us to agree with this. To quench is simply this, is to deny his power. To quench the Holy Spirit is to deny his power. To live as though God is incapable is to live as though God is incapable and take matters into my own hands. That's quenching the Holy Spirit. Do you guys understand that? Do you track that? Follow with that. Hello? I'll restate it. To quench the Holy Spirit is to deny his power and therefore to live as though God is incapable and take matters into my own hands. Yeah, that's pretty big, because that, like, everything in this world, everything in my life, I have a choice to allow God the Holy Spirit to have his way in it and give him all grounds in it, or just take it into my own hands and do it my own way. From my relationships, my finances, my relationship to God even, all these things, I could say, I'm doing it on my own power. And what you've just done is you've denied his power to do the work in you. There's a verse, Mark 9:23, which is really awesome, says this. It was in regards to a dad that was bringing his son who had been demonized, and he asked Jesus this question, and he asked this question. I don't have it written down here, but he says, if it is possible, if you can do something, would you please have mercy and compassion and do something about my son? And Jesus' response was this. He said to him, if you can, what do you mean, if you can? It's almost as though he was challenging him on his statement. Well, he was challenging. If you can, let me instruct you. All things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. All things are possible for one who believes. And then the next verse is, and it's not up there real quick, but he says, well then, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. I'm struggling with this. And that's a really genuine, honest thing that we can bring to God. I'm struggling with bringing everything to you, that all things are possible with you. Bring that to God. Bring that to God. Because his response to you is just going to say, let me show you, child. All things are possible. There's nothing that God can't do. Nothing that is too difficult. All things are possible for God and with God. So to grieve the Holy Spirit is simply this. That was quenching. To grieve is to reject his character. And this is why it has, like I said, from start to finish, Jesus is good theology. Grace that doesn't lead to holiness is not grace at all. To quench the Holy Spirit is to deny his power. To grieve the Holy Spirit is to reject his character. What's that look like? It's to live as though I am incapable of becoming anything different. Did you hear that? So the first one, quenching, is to live as though God can't. The second one, to grieve, is to live as though I can't. You following with me? That's because here's the thing is, if we come to this place and we come to this conclusion that I am what I am, it is what it is, I'll never be anything other than what I am, and this is all that I'm ever going to be. I'm just a wreck. I'm a mess. I'm just a nothing, a nobody. Oh, I know that you say, we won't say that, but in essence, we've come to that belief by rejecting the power of God in the ability to transform us into something amazing beyond and above what you are capable of. Hello? Hello?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, brothers and sisters. I mean, really. All right, you guys didn't get me. This is really good stuff. I mean, this is really good stuff. Some people paid money for this stuff. I mean it. Oh, praise the Lord. Now, this is Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Do you hear that? Let us not grieve the Holy Spirit. How do I say it in a more crude fashion? You're not animals. You're not monkeys. You're not dogs. You are created in the image of God. Created in the image of God for his workmanship so that you can do things as God empowers you to do them and be what God has empowered you to be. An animal does instinctive animalistic things. They behave like animals. They act like animals because they act and they respond out of instinct. You guys understand what I'm saying about that?
Yes.
Never in your language, in anything that come out of your mouth should ever say these words, "Well, I can't help it." What you've just did, what you've just done, if you grieve the Holy Spirit so severely because you're saying, "Well, I'm just an animal," you know? And I've used this illustration, and I think I could say it in this room. It's a room of mature adults, I believe. Well, except there's a child walking through. Good grief. All right. We'll pause. We'll go back there after a minute, maybe. Maybe not. Anyway, what does a dog do? They do what dogs do, right? Yeah, they chase their tail. They hump legs. They do what dogs do. They bark when the doorbell rings because why? Even though they know that it's what dogs do. And my dog, I've told this to you before. I cannot get it to not be a dog. It just drives me nuts that this dog is a dog and it acts like a dog. I mean, I love my dog. You guys know that. I love my dogs. You've been in my home. I love my dogs, but dang it, they act like dogs. And it just drives me nuts. I wish they would act like, you know, people. And respond right, you know, and you know, it's just somebody ringing the doorbell. It's a cabinet door shutting. It's not a big deal. Settle down. But what do I get frustrated at? Because a dog is acting like a dog. Yeah, they're doing the instinctive thing that dogs do. We are not dogs. We are not dogs. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit by rejecting the character, the holiness that God has called you to live by. Hello? Oh, man, amen. Just receive that. Let God, the Holy Spirit, right now, just dig into the depths of your soul and into the depths of your issues of your heart and say, okay, I'm not supposed to be like that. I'm not supposed to be doing that. That's not who I'm called to be. Let God, the Holy Spirit, to do some spiritual surgery on you. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Do not grieve him any longer. Make that choice, that resolution. Because you're royalty. You're something different. You're more than who you are right now. You are royalty. And because you are sons and daughters of God, God has sent his Spirit into your heart. The Spirit that cries out, "Abba, Father," so that you no longer live as a slave. Do you understand that? A slave to your flesh, a slave to your instincts, a slave to that which is your old ways. You are no longer a slave, but a son. And if you are a son, then you're an heir of God through Christ. Do you hear that? That's the truth of God's word of who you are and who I am. When you say yes to Jesus, so what does that look like? What does royalty look like? I wanted to, these are five things that I'm going to go over, and I'm going to go over them as quickly as possible of what royalty looks like. It starts with the first step. You are chosen. You are chosen by God. You are chosen by God. 1 Peter 2:4. I'm going to get into my Bible here real quick. But here's what I wanted to do. You understand this, that you are chosen. There's this really neat thing that just happened in our day not too long ago. We don't understand it here in our democratic system of where we vote people into office and our leaders into office. But, I mean, we do understand the idea of monarchy and how that the rule of monarchy. Do you guys understand a little bit of it? Where you're talking about a king that rules over the people. And usually use the, and they have a senate or a governing system that actually does the governing work, but the king or the queen is the one who is the monarch, the one that's in charge, the one that's rule over the people. You guys with me on this? This is really super cool that just happened, and it happened, and it's such an awesome illustration. I believe it to be so almost biblical. Is we have a queen right now that's over in Europe that she has two grandsons, right? You guys understand that Prince William is the next in, actually Prince Charles is the next in line for the throne. You guys tracking with me for a second?
Yeah, tracking.
Really? Okay. So as Prince Charles is the next in line for the throne, well, he has two sons. And those two sons are the one that's first in line is Prince William, right? You guys with me? This is real stuff. I'm not making this stuff up. Well, what happened to him just recently? I mean, it wasn't that long ago. He got married. He got married, right? To Kate Middleton, right? Who's now married. Now, guess what happened to her?
She had a baby.
Yeah, but she had a baby. What happened to her the instant that she became royalty. What a cool deal. I mean, just because here's what happened. She did this. Prince William, and if you track the story a little bit, it's fun to read about. You know, it's a nice little romance. And probably, I don't know, there's probably movies about it. I don't know. There might be something out there, yeah. Is that they just went to school together. They went to school together, and she caught his eye. She caught his eye, and she was dating somebody else, and that fell through. And so Prince William, I like her a lot. So he wooed her to where now she's drawn to him. And guess what he did? He proposed to her. The proposal said, "Will you be my wife? Will you be my wife?" All that she had to do, she had a choice. She could say yes. She could say no. She could have said no. She could have rejected the proposal to be royalty. She received and she accepted the proposal and said yes. She said yes. And the moment she said, "I do," she became royalty. Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. So much so that now she's got royal blood that comes out of her, that her child that she just had, he's now, I think it's, is it like, it's Charles, William, and this child. What's the child's name? George is going to be king one day. That's so cool. I mean, just think about this. This is what God has done, and he's done it in this awesome, magnificent way. As King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace chose you, woos you, calls you, has proposed an offer to you. Each and every one of us, that if you say yes to me, my grace is sufficient. Say yes to my salvation, to my proposal to live in eternity, to walk with me, to be at peace with God. Say yes to that, and you become royalty. No, I'm serious.
I do.
Yeah. That's really cool.
I mean,
I know, isn't it? What a deal. What a deal. That's a deal. A deal of deals of all deals is that we are chosen. Did you come up with, oh, thank you. Thank you, Michael. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. Chosen and precious. You and I are chosen, and we're chosen. Our response just simply needs to be saying yes. Yes to that proposal. That's pretty awesome. That's good stuff. It gets better. You are transformed. You are transformed. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Let me go there real quick. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. See, here's what royalty looks like. There's a transform. Now, I'm going to go back to the Kate Middleton story. To me, it's like super, super cool. And a little romantic. It's really neat. Is once she said yes and she became royalty, and now guess what happens? She moves into this place of royalty. Now she's transformed into royalty. She's no longer a commoner. Now she's royalty, and she's transformed into royalty to where she is now acts like royalty, and they transform her thinking. They teach her how to think like royalty. And these children that she's now producing are born into royalty, and they teach them how to think and act like royalty to where they actually believe that they're royalty and they act like royalty. So it comes to this place of what I believe that I am is how I will act. And there's a real transformation, Kevin, that happens in you and I when we believe who we are, then we start to act the way that we actually are called to be. You guys following with me on that? That's awesome stuff there. Again, you could pay for this stuff, man. No. Yeah. What's the next passage of Scripture? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Our calling is to live and walk in this newness. That's what we're actually expected to do. By God, he has empowered us. Remember, grace that doesn't lead to holiness is no grace at all. In fact, it's a twisted perversion. You are transformed. God is doing the transform. This is super neat. I want to share this with you. God, if he says that you are a new creation created in Christ Jesus, you are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That means, understand this. The process of sanctification is just bringing you to the place where God has already placed you. Well, did you hear what I just said? The process of sanctification is you aligning yourself up with where God has already got you. Hello? Okay, let me explain it in a simpler way, really quick. You know, the old 35mm cameras, right? You took a picture, boop, snap, snap. You weren't able to see what you took, right? Because where was it?
In the film.
It was in the film. What did you have to do to find out what that... You had to get it developed. You had to take it in and get it developed. That's what he's doing. That's called sanctification.
You already took the picture.
Yeah, it's there. It's done. The picture's done. Who you are in Christ is done deal.
Let's go.
That's right. Amen, on, brother. Preach it. Preach it. Yeah. Woo!
Put it in the basket.
And the game's not even on. Hallelujah. It's a done deal. You are transformed. Let God do the work of developing that which is already in you. Stop grieving the Holy Spirit. You are way more than this thing that you've settled to be. It is not is what it is anymore. It is whatever God has created me, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength and the grace and the power. Hallelujah. Amen.
Oh.
Anybody agree with that?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Come on now.
Woo. Man. Third point, as royalty, what does royalty look like on you? You are chosen, you are transformed. You have power now. You have power. Hebrews 12:15, listen to this. We just studied this. We went over this on Tuesday night at our study, and it's great. It's like it like really jumped out as words of life. It says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. Last week I said you can interchange these words grace with power. see to it that no one fails to obtain the power of God. Very simply put, like this. Bring God into everything. Don't leave God out of anything. Bring God into everything. And watch what He can do. You have power. You have the power of God, the grace of God in you, flowing through you. Bring Him into everything. Pray about everything and don't worry about anything. Instead, and let God do it. Bring God into everything.
Amen.
Bring God into everything. Hello? Amen. Your struggle with sin, bring God into it. You have power over it. You are a conqueror. You are victorious. Your struggle with your finances, bring God into it. Your struggle with your relationship with your spouse, bring God into it. Your struggle with your kids that you're dealing with that are not walking with the Lord and you're struggling with them, or maybe they are and they're battling with stuff, bring God into it. Hello?
Amen.
Your health issues. Oh, your aches and pains, bring God into it. Amen. I'm going to try to find something in the Bible. I've never done this before and I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to go on an adventure. An adventure of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and see if I can find where Jesus came to the conclusion that he didn't feel like it was God's will to bring life and healing and wholeness into a situation. I'm gonna attempt to find that. You guys following with me on that?
Yeah.
Because here's where I believe I will come to this conclusion with, you know, and I encourage you, you know, sometimes you got to read the Gospels, because if you just read them just to read them, that's really good. But sometimes you have to read them and you have to look for something. You know, I'm not talking about eisegesis where I'm trying to find my meaning and implant it into the word and come out with something that enhances what I wanted to say. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about using the, I'll use another word. Sorry, guys. The hermeneutics of the Bible, where you actually bring into the Bible, learn from the Bible, use the Bible to learn from the Bible. You guys understand that?
Yes.
You do now. I believe that Jesus, if Jesus is good theology, His love and His mercy and His power and His authority took action every time it was presented in front of Him. Even when He was tired, even when He didn't get any sleep, even when He was trying to get rest, He was sleeping in a boat and the boat was getting ready to be sunk. And they woke Him up and they said, Jesus, how can you let this happen? What's going on? And he didn't use it as an opportunity to just say, leave me alone. Just deal with it on your own, guys. He didn't say that. And he said, he stopped it. He said, come on, guys, where's your faith? Don't you know that I'm right here with you? I mean, really, I've brought you this far. Am I just going to leave you hanging? I mean, why did we come to that conclusion? Where are you, God, in this? Where are you, God, in this one? Where are you, God, in this one? He's where we bring Him. Let's bring Him into it and see what He does. Maybe it's just I haven't taken that step to bring Him into it. Humbly submit, pray, ask God to do something amazing, miraculous through it. You have power. You have power. Bring God into everything. What another aspect of authority, of royalty, what you look like is you have authority. This is really good. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. Be everyone to whom much is given, much will be required. And to all that have been entrusted with much, much will be demanded. The authority that God has given you, it comes with responsibility. This isn't an authority that God is giving you that you can just, do this. Here's what it, this is not the authority he's referring to. I'm going to see if this works without me straining a muscle. You do that. You go do that. You get your butt busy and go do that. It's not that kind of authority. Man, that really, I gotta do some more stretching. What is this authority that he's referring to? It's an authority that as a shepherd leads sheep, gets in there and corrals and pulls and says, okay, with the authority comes a responsibility. You guys understand this? You following with me on this? Authority always has responsibility and accountability. The more authority you have, the more accountability you have. The more authority that God has given you, and he's given you authority, there's a responsibility that comes with it. And with that responsibility comes an awesome humbling of what God has placed within you to be responsible for. I meet with, you know, there's men that I minister with and minister to. And one of the first things that we deal with is in dealing with men is the awesome responsibility of being the head of the home, being that which God has placed you as the person that is not in charge, but responsible for the spiritual actions that's going on in that home as a man. That's an authority that God has given the man that is a heavy responsibility that God has given a man. Something that I work really hard at teaching my sons, because they are men, and they are men of God who are following after God, who have families. Of course, one is not quite married yet, but he's come into that place. So it's an awesome responsibility because it's an awesome authority that God has given you. And here's another thing too, is this authority that God has given you as royalty is not just in this realm. Hello? Let me go there for a second. It's not just in this realm. God has given you authority in realms that are not of this realm. God, as a child of God and as a son of God, as an heir of God, he has given each and every one of us the authority over spiritual realms. In other words, over the power of darkness. Light has power over darkness. You are the light of the world. Hello? Stop allowing it to control you and dictate you in the direction that you think, in the direction you go. You have the authority, right? Amen. Amen. Michael just had a nice little housewarming party, and it was really fantastic, and we had a nice little discussion right before it that said, Michael, this is your home. You take authority in it. You take the responsibility in it. You pray over it. You bring God into it. It is your home. You have authority. You have responsibility. You take the action. In Jesus' name, by the power of his Spirit. Yeah. And that's what he said. Yeah. Amen. Pretty much. Amen? Amen? Amen. Okay, do you have a home?
Yes.
Yeah, you have a temple. The temple is you. The temple is the living God inside of you. That is your home. You have authority in that temple. You have and responsibility in that temple. That's you. You are the temple of God. You are the dwelling place of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's what royalty looks like. That's what royalty looks like. Oh, that's good stuff. Man, praise the Lord. Okay, I'm moving on. You have a royal purpose. Oh, praise the Lord. This is awesome. Isaiah 61. I got to read this whole entire chapter. It's not that many verses, because as you read this, it kind of sums the whole thing up. Listen to this. And it might stop at a few points. Isaiah 61. You have a royal purpose. Before I read this, though, really, you know, man, there's something that God wants to do in our midst that is bigger than anything that I could even dream of. In fact, I can't even put it in words that what God is desiring to do in his church, in this body of believers here. And he's doing it in the church as a whole. And it's establishing his people as priests and kings to be salt and light in a dark and decaying world. To where we are priests as kings. We understand our position, our kingship, our royalty is our position, and our priesthood is our purpose. Our that which is our we're called to do. Be active at doing. You guys understand that? And I believe what God is doing, I believe and I sense what God is doing in the church as a whole, is a lot of the same stuff. A lot of the churches that I'm in contact with as much as possible. I got a little bit of time. I got to share with you guys something really fast. This is awesome. Because this is what God is doing. I see it. Is Robin and I, we went to, and we did the wedding for Ryan Duncan yesterday. I officiated it, and we were there. And it was half, and I'm serious, half white people and half Armenian people. And there's a really big difference. And I'm not being racist at all, but it's funny when you're dealing with Armenian people and how they think of us white people. It's really funny. I mean, I was just having a good time with them because the Lord, all of these Armenians were devout believers in Christ. I mean, we're talking these guys, and the dad that got up and prayed and preached, and when he's preached, he really did, and he prayed in the Armenian language. Oh, it was there. The Spirit of God was there. It was awesome stuff. God was moving and doing stuff in this midst, and it was really exciting. And Robin and I, in the reception, we got to speak with some of the younger crowd, because they actually could speak English. The older crowd couldn't really speak English that much. And I was like, man, these guys, I want to get to know these people. It's a whole entire clan, if you will, of people that came over from basically Russia, Armenia there, and they came over from right when Ronald Reagan allowed it and got basically opened up the borders. They migrated here for one purpose, to worship God freely. And this is an entire, he said, yeah, we came over in a big ship. There's like 200-300 of us that came over all together. And we just wanted to come to Sacramento. Sacramento? Like, what the heck? That's like coming to Lincoln. Who goes to Lincoln? Who goes to Sacramento? And they started a church in Sacramento, Armenian-speaking church. And these are really awesome people of God that are Spirit-filled, Bible-believing. I mean, these guys are intense. And we got into some conversations. It was like, whoa, dude, settle down, man. Settle down. I am your friend. This is good stuff. As God was doing this in these conversations and God was showing us, God was really just instilling within me, just in Robin, both this joy of the Lord in the body of Christ as brothers and sisters together. And man, the older crowd, I got up and I prayed a blessing on Ryan and Lilia, and it was awesome. And it was a spirit moved thing, and just whoo, God just like settled on them. And as I was leaving, I'm serious, all these old guys that don't speak English, I think they only speak a few words, they're like high-fiving me and Jesus good, brother, it was like, oh man, this is awesome. The younger crowd was, they're more, I could have a conversation with them. What I'm sharing with you that for is because it's just, I just want us to be encouraged that the body of Christ is alive, and at work and active. We're not just, frozen, chosen, sitting in a pew and just, sitting around doing nothing. God is doing stuff, and he's doing stuff in every tribe, in every nation, in every language. God, the Holy Spirit, is alive and moving. Come on, let's go with him. Amen. I want to go where he goes. Hallelujah. I want to go where he goes and do what he does. Isaiah 61. We'll share more about it. I will. It's in fact, I'll probably have one of them come and preach here one time. Yeah, they were. He was on board for it. One of the preachers. I guess they're all preachers. I don't know. The year of the Lord's favor. Listen to this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I'm going to just stop there for a second. I want to enhance that the only way to do that, and Matt and I were talking about it, you gotta connect with people. You gotta love people. You gotta reach into people's lives. You can't just stand at a distance and say, be free. Yeah, you laugh because it doesn't work. No. Come on, let's do this together, brother. We gotta do this together. We gotta get into people's lives. We've got to engage. We've even got to have the faith that God is capable of reaching the unreachable. Huh. I was one. Amen. We got to do it. That's what he's called us to do. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I got through one verse. Good grief. You guys. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes. The oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. They shall build up ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and tend your flocks. Foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be called the priests of the Lord. They shall speak of you as ministers of our God. You shall eat the wealth of the nations, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, there will be a double portion. Instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their lot. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess a double portion, for they shall have everlasting joy. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples, and all who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring that the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all nations. Amen. The Spirit of God is doing this. He's doing this. This is the day of the Lord. And He has made it, and He has called you as royal priest to do it. This last statement that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, says this, combining all of those. And I'll say it 3 or 4 times so that the Holy Spirit just ingrains it into your spirit, your soul. You are chosen, transformed royalty with power and authority from God on high, who calls you His own for His purpose to be the love of God to all. You are chosen, transformed royalty with power and authority from God on high, who calls you His own for His purpose to be the love of God to all. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Let us pray together and worship God one last time this morning. Just here in this place, though. It's not one last time this morning, but here in this place, let our worship be taken out in Jesus' name. You have called us. You have chosen us. You have transformed us. You have empowered us. And you have given us authority. By the Spirit of God, we align ourselves as heirs of God to be the royal priesthood that you've called us to be, to live as royal priests as you've called us to live, to speak as royal priests as you've called us to speak, to think as royal priests as you've called us to think, to act as royal priests as you've called us to act. By your Spirit, you are doing this. And we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Amen.